Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
We know now about the longer term effects of COVID-19, with some patients who recovered at home reporting fatigue and other symptoms weeks after their diagnosis. So maybe you've recovered from COVID. What has it been like for you? Joining me on the line now is Dr. Ilona Duffy. Ilona, how are you? You're somebody who had COVID. How did you find the recovery?
Well, Claire, I suppose I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm doing fine and I'm back at work. And after the initial probably 5 to 6 weeks, I feel I'm back to kind of my pre-COVID health, which is great. But as you said, we know there are many people out there who haven't been as lucky.
And what are the symptoms that linger?
Okay, well, I suppose you could kind of group people into the recovery of two groups. Those maybe who were really ill and were in hospital. And I suppose those people were very sick, and many of them may have been ventilated or have assisted breathing in some way. So we kind of expect that they're going to have a tough time recovering, especially if they were older, had underlying health conditions, that their health may have taken a step downward. So they may not be back to their pre-health levels, and it may take some period of time. And they may never get back if they're very vulnerable. So that group, kind of, we kind of know and we would expect that. But the surprising group, I think, has been the people who maybe got a mild form of it, who weren't too sick, who didn't have to go to hospital, who were at home managing with their cough, their temperatures, had it for a week or so and then seemed to improve. And a lot of them went back to work and felt, you know, well, I'm getting on with things. But now they're kind of seeing this ongoing fatigue. And fatigue seems to be the big one that people are complaining about. But other symptoms, such as persistent cough and loss of smell and taste, are big problematic ones for people as well, because as you can imagine, whatever about the tiredness, you kind of push yourself along and you're trying to get on with it. If you're still coughing, people are looking at you, it's very hard to go out, it's very hard to go back to work. We kind of feel you're not infectious at this stage, and it's kind of what we call a post-viral cough that we see with other viruses, including influenza. But at the same stage, anybody who's around you doesn't want you there if you're coughing. Similarly, if you've lost your sense of taste and smell, it's really difficult because it's very hard to enjoy your food. It's very hard to get on with things. And people find that they're maybe not eating as well and they're losing weight as a result of it. So that's a problem for us too.
And it's interesting, throughout the discussion about the scenes of people out socialising over the weekend and whether or not they were adhering to guidelines, a lot is being said about people not being fearful anymore or not being worried about it or thinking, sure, I'm young, I'm healthy, what's the big deal? And maybe that they're not being that casual with it, but they're thinking, I'm not seeing a vulnerable person. Maybe their elderly parents live in another county and they're not going anywhere near them. That's just their personal choice. But we are hearing stories of young, healthy people like yourself contracting the virus. And over the weekend, Dublin footballer Siobhan Killeen, she's 27, and she spoke about her experience with it. And she was at a very high level of fitness, very conscious of her nutrition. And still, weeks later, says she's not right. 3 months after her diagnosis, she's still on the long road to full recovery.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing. We're learning so much as time goes on. And perhaps in a way, we're learning from other countries too, where we're seeing in China, Italy, where they're having people, as you said, the younger people, the people who didn't get a really bad, severe case of symptoms of COVID, but they're now the ones that are still struggling with ongoing symptoms and the fatigue, not being able to get back to full health. And I think those who are really fit and out running and things, finding that they can't do it. And I suppose the advice really is important, that if you are struggling, if you are feeling short of breath, if you are getting chest pain when you are trying to go back to your previous exertion, your previous exercise level, stop doing it, because you can be doing yourself more damage. And again, before this, we'd have been saying to people, you know, push yourself that wee bit and get out there and try building up your exercise tolerance again. But we now know that this virus can affect people's heart muscle. It can affect people in so many different ways that they don't realize. And therefore, you need to listen to your body. I think you're right. I think Tony Houlihan, before he moved from his position in the temporary capacity, basically was saying that people have become a little bit lax about it. We are seeing that people are delaying ringing their GP with symptoms. They're now feeling, well, we're out and about, sure, it's probably just hay fever, it's the normal cold, that's why I'm kind of sniffly, that's why I have a sore throat, that's why I'm coughing. And they're not maybe then going into that lockdown mode, staying home, getting the test done. And the fear is that that's also going to create this increased number of cases, because they're out and about meeting more people than they were, let's say, 2 months ago. So I think it's a real problem. People are probably still feeling, well, we're over the worst. We're seeing the numbers of new cases drop, the number of deaths drop. But it's still out there. This morning, two GPs were on a group. It's a small group of GPs in my area, and both of them had cases, two of them had positive cases in the last week of COVID, which just shows it's out there. And we've got to remain alert and we've got to be careful.
What about the psychological impact then of contracting the virus? Not only the fear and anxiety that comes with this big scary monster that keeps getting discussed all around us, when it finally makes it into your home and into your life, that's got to have a big impact, as well as the time you have to spend isolating away from people, feeling very, very ill in some cases.
Well, it's very interesting you'd ask that, because that's one of the other side effects after, is that quite a high percentage of people who've had COVID become depressed in the months afterwards. And we don't know whether that's as a result of the virus itself creating some kind of a process that creates the depression, or whether it's just they're not getting back to the normal life. Or for those who've been really sick, there can be an element nearly like post-traumatic stress, where they've been so ill and had a close-to-death experience that leaves them scarred as well. But also we are seeing a huge rise in anxiety amongst those who haven't had COVID, and that worry about things opening up, and especially for those who are vulnerable, those who are older, those who have underlying health conditions, that they're worried, well, what's going to happen if I get it? What's going to happen if a family member gets it? And I think that's creating a huge level of anxiety. And again, that's where the unfairness. These are the people who are being careful. They are staying home. They are using hand sanitizers, wearing masks when they're in public. And yet what they're doing is to protect the others who maybe aren't as vulnerable as them. And I suppose they're seeing people in shops who are moving around without any face coverings. And I think we've got to think, what it may not be about you, but it is about your grandparent, it is about a parent, it is about somebody you know who lives near you who could get, and how is it going to affect them? And again, as you've said, the younger people who may feel, well, I'm invincible, I'm not going to get it, or if I get it, I'll get it as a mild case, but am I going to be one of those unlucky people who ends up with this chronic fatigue, or ends up with losing my sense of smell or taste for months afterwards?
So what's your advice then to people? How do you build yourself back up if you have had COVID-19?
Well, I think you take it easy. You listen to your symptoms. And if you're still having shortness of breath and you're having chest pain, then I do think you need to talk to your GP and whether or not you're going to need referral on for other investigations. However, if it's mild and it's just happening when you're kind of trying to push yourself and do exertion, I think you should take a step back. Take it easy. With regards to the loss of smell, which is a real problem for some people, they actually suggest stimulating your sense of smell, so smelling cloves, things that have a strong scent, and just keep doing that. You're working to try and restart it and re-kickstart that whole sensory kind of thing in your nose, and that will also improve your taste as well. But the big thing is, I suppose, if you're struggling both with mood or physical symptoms, do ring your GP. GP surgeries are open. We're still not maybe open for just walk-in visits, but we are taking phone calls from people every day, 7 days of the week, and we will see those who need to be seen and arrange any tests that are required.
We've been talking about the long-term effects of COVID-19, and I've Michael on the line. Hello, Michael.
Hi there.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You've been on quite a long road. You contracted COVID back in March. Tell us about your long road to recovery.
I moved home from London on the 16th of March, obviously to avoid COVID. I had just moved over to work in media, and I obviously brought it home with me. And it was actually the night I came home, I started feeling sick. Now, in regards to the recovery, I was hospitalised, but thankfully wasn't ventilated or anything. But I was in for 5 days. They let me home on the Monday. I went in on the Thursday, and they said, look, keep an eye on yourself and keep in touch. But it was only when I left that I started to develop pneumonia. And that probably had the biggest toll in my body. I would say it's only been in the past, let's say, 2 weeks that I've started to have like any semblance of normality.
And what age are you, Michael? Because you sound young, and obviously you're
28.
28.
Yeah, I'm 28.
And would you consider yourself to be a healthy individual?
Absolutely. I'm fit. I play sport. I go to the gym. And like in regards to my hospitalization, I've had like a few articles done on me and stuff like that. And sometimes I think you can't help but have a look at some of the comments on Facebook. And there's kind of a tone of some people saying, oh, he had underlying conditions, etc. But I mean, like, I have asthma, but that's not indicative of someone who's going to be from cold. So it goes to show that people can't be too certain that it's not going to affect them or someone they know.
And would you consider now, almost 4 months later, that you're back to full health, or do you still have a little way to go?
No. I went to a consultant respiratory physician maybe after 12 weeks, and he asked me back in September to do a pulmonary function test, which is like a lung capacity test, because they're more likely is some form of damage, I imagine, because I feel that my breathing as it was. And maybe some of the other lingering effects for me personally was definitely PTSD, as the doctor said. It was almost like a battle. During the battle, I think you're okay, but it's only the after effects that I'd have.
Yeah, night terrors, of course.
Extreme anxiety, panic attacks. It was awful.
And I mean, everything taken away from you. I mean, heading off to London with a place of dreams, with a new career ahead of you, to be back almost battling for your health at home. I'm sure it knocked you for six, but there's no reason you can't get back to where you were before. I'm going to let you go, Michael, only because the line is breaking up a little bit, but we wish you all the best and glad to hear that you're getting closer to full health again. I have Rory on the line. Hello, Rory.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you, Rory? You also fell ill back in March.
Late February, March. I actually think, first of all, I have no medical background, so I can't even say it. Did I have it? I had something. I fell ill with chest pains, cough, sore throat, general weakness, confusion, dizziness, air breathing was a big problem. I'd be gulping, I was yawning actually for a half the day, just trying to get that extra lump into my lungs.
Horrible feeling.
And what Michael just said there, the anxiety, that's a huge part as well. Like panic attacks, that WTF moment, you kind of go, Jesus, what's happening here? So I rang. First of all, I'm not a hypochondriac because I don't go to the doc ever. But I know a doc, so I rang her and she said, I can't get your tests, just isolate. So I stayed in, and it went on for, about a month. But after I started feeling better, then I would have a space of days where I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be wondering, okay, how do I feel today? Pretty good. How do I feel today? Knackered, barely be getting out of the bed. I do a walk every morning, a 3K walk, and some mornings I really struggle on the first one with phlegm and coughing and breathing and that kind of stuff. But then for the second two, it's like my lungs open up a little bit and then I'm kind of okay. But
it's still lingering. It's still there.
Oh, it came back again 4 weeks ago. So I rang my doc and she said, okay, look, enough. If you're telling me you feel that bad, and I know you because you don't come to me ever. And she got me over to Cork where they tested and I came back negative. But I got talking then to the doc, and he kind of was questioning the validity of the test, and he said, come back tomorrow at 10:30. So I came back the next day at 10:30 and they kept me in for 2 days, and all the testing that Michael had just done, I had that done. I had an MRI, a brain scan, I had a chest x-ray, I had an echo thing, I had a lung capacity, I had a heart monitor, blood pressure, and again, like it happens and has happened, 2 days in the hospital and I've no symptoms.
It always goes that way. Yeah, and at least you have that full bill of health, that full inspection of your body. I think it's important that people get that. Do you have any idea where you may have got it, or do you have any theories on that?
Well, I have a theory on it. I'm self-employed, and I was in fixing a cooker for a landlord who had sent me in. And his tenant was just back from Valencia. He was a Spaniard. He had spent a month in Valencia. This is late February, early March. And your man was on the couch with the telly on, struggling, and he had a blanket over himself. And I thought no more about it. It didn't cross my mind. It was early days, so it wasn't really headline news. But it was about a week week and a half after I came out of that house.
But you started to get the symptoms. Yeah, I mean, you could be onto something there. Rory, we're going to have to leave it there, but we wish you all the best to get back to full 100% of health. And thank you very much for coming on, because I think with everything we discussed today, from people relaxing their thoughts when they're getting out and about, I think hearing from Michael and Ilona and Rory is a cautionary tale.